When numbers on growth and unemployment don't tell the whole story. With the Marketplace Midday Update, I'm Noelle King, in for David Brancaccio. The European Central Bank has voted to keep interest rates at record lows. ECB President Mario Draghi warned today of a slowing economic recovery in the Eurozone. He said the bank is prepared to extend its stimulus programs. Adolfo Lorente is Chief International Economist at Mesirow Financial.
It shows that the uncertainty about economic outlook has become more uncertain everywhere, not just in emerging economies. Clearly, we have some upside risk, a lot of volatility and uncertainty on the markets. The European Central Bank wants to be ready to do more if needed next year, both in terms of higher inflation, right now it's a disappointment, and to support a growth that may be slowing down also for the euro area.
And all of this uncertainty comes in the context of tomorrow's jobs report and the Federal Reserve's decision on interest rates in September.
Yes, this is very difficult because there are, first of all these global issues that are clearly impacting the Fed. And then there are some technical issues on the job report in August. It's very volatile. Over the last few years, it had very large revisions. But somehow this year, we needed to get it right away because of the Fed needed the information for the decision. And with all this uncertainty, I think that the Fed will really be hard-pressed to decide one way or another, considering the markets, the uncertainty on the numbers, the global economy.
Okay, Adolfo Lorente is Chief International Economist at Mesirow Financial. Thanks so much, Adolfo.
Thank you.
Adolfo did just talk about global uncertainty, but here in the U.S., we can point to some continuing economic improvements in unemployment and home sales. But economists are still finding some stubbornly negative trends, too. A new report this morning from the National Employment Law Project, an advocacy group, finds wages have actually declined for many low-income Americans. Marketplace's Sabri Benishore has more.
It is true that inflation has been very low over the past several years, but it has been there, slowly making things get more expensive. At the same time, wage growth has been glacial, even zero for some people. Irene Tung with the National Employment Law Project says this has been silently reducing workers' buying power.
They may know that they're not getting raises, but they may not realize that effectively they have $1,000 less in their pocket than they did 5 years ago.
Tung says the effects are concentrated in low-income groups whose ranks have been swelling. Lawrence Michel, director of the Economic Policy Institute, adds that this echoes a longer-term relationship between wages and productivity.
These two used to grow together in the 1950s, 60s, and early 70s, but in the last 40 years, they have diverged such that productivity grew 72% since 1973, but the pay of a typical worker grew around 9%.
He says policies have not kept up, and the current real minimum wage is 25% lower than it was in 1968. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
Europe continues to grapple with an influx of people who are seeking refuge from war, political instability, or economic crises in their home countries. European leaders and citizens are wrestling with what to do about the humanitarian crisis, but also what it will cost them. The BBC's Chris Morris has been covering the story from Brussels. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Given the vast humanitarian concerns, it feels a little strange to ask this, but as EU countries debate who does what, are there questions emerging about who pays for what, how we pay to house and support these hundreds of thousands of people?
Yes, there's a financial aspect to this. One example, Germany, the Labour minister said perhaps an extra 250,000 to 450,000 people being entitled to German social benefits next year could cost the state up to $4 billion. Of course, there are the countries where many of these migrants are first arriving, many of them the countries that can least afford at the moment. Greece, obviously, has been in the news for two things this year. One has been this huge influx of people. The other has been Greece's ongoing financial crisis. It is struggling to cope on many, many levels. I think the call is for more solidarity across Europe. That's supposed to be one of the watchwords of the European Union, that countries help each other out. But what this refugee crisis has revealed is that some of that solidarity is in short supply. On the other hand, many countries within the EU desperately need people arriving. They need a larger workforce. If jobs are to be created, there may not be enough people to do those jobs.
Has the leadership of any European country come out and said, listen, this could be beneficial for job growth and industry growth, or is it too sensitive right now to go that far?
There are people talking about the fact that the labor force needs to be larger. I mean, Germany is facing a real demographic crisis at the moment. Its working population will fall significantly over the next two or three decades. So political leaders there know that they do need immigrant stock to help keep the economy moving. It is a sensitive issue, especially when we see other, you know, economic problems, for example, the reimposition of border controls, the Austro-Hungarian border, for example, massive traffic jams, creating huge problem for businesses who rely on being able to get goods and services across what is supposed to be, in most cases, a border-free Europe inside the Schengen zone. If those borders are going to become more blocked, then that's going to have a huge financial knock-on and it's not going to be popular.
That was the BBC's Chris Morris. Last up, the class of 2015 tanked their SATs, according to the College Board, which administers the test. They had the lowest critical reading score on the exam in more than 40 years and the lowest mean math score since 1999. We're coming to you from studios at Montclair State University in New Jersey today. I'm Noelle King with the Marketplace Midday Update. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.